Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, all across the Spiz Grizz Network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. A little sample of everything here in this second hour. At the All-Star break, some big news out of Brooklyn yesterday. Jacques Vaughn out as the head coach. Kevin Ollie, yeah, the guy that used to coach at Connecticut, is the head coach now as the interim head coach for the Brooklyn Nets as well. We'll get to some reaction around that. PGA Tour, new event this week in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I was just there last week. We'll have Keith Stewart on the show, and then Donnie and I will dive in to the playoff push in the association here in hour number two as well. Where things stack up from the Eastern and Western Conference playoff outlook here in the home stretch following the All-Star break as play resumes on Thursday in the NBA.
Yep, teeing up that quote-unquote second half of the NBA season, even though it isn't a true second half, as we know. But also, we must be getting closer, Ben, also, to that Florida swing in golf. And also, while we're talking about the state of Florida, is it true in March that Ben will make his first trip to the state of Florida? So everything coming up the sunshine state here, huh? How about that?
Daytona 500, the Florida swing coming in mid-March for the PGA Tour as well. Culminates with the fifth major at TPC Sawgrass and the Players' Championship. And I will make my debut in the state of Florida down in Palm Beach for some spring training baseball. Cardinals, Mets, Saturday, March 9th. My first ever spring training game as well. He's Donnie, I'm Ben. Let's welcome in that Sports Grid radio audience here. Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. So we're at the All-Star break in the NBA. No games today. No games tomorrow. Back in action on a Thursday. In the final hour of our show, after our coach James Young was on the show, we got the news out of Brooklyn, the Nets firing Jacques Vaughn yesterday. We'll talk about who they name as the interim head coach in just a moment. But Jay Wyatt wasn't done on the Spiz Grizz Network. He joined Kevin Walsh on Game Time Decisions for his reaction to the news that the Brooklyn Nets dismissed Jacques Vaughn.
What the hell does Sean Marks have on Joe Tsai? That's where I'm at, right? So if you peel this back, folks, first things first, Sean Marks wasn't even hired by Joe Tsai. If I'm not mistaken, he was hired by Mikhail Prokhorov, if I'm not mistaken, right? He builds up this team with Kenny Atkinson. By the way, Kenny Atkinson and got fired. Kenny Atkinson should have never been fired. He was doing a great job with that young core of Dinwiddie, of D'Lo, of Jared Allen, of Caris LeVert. KD, remember, had signed, didn't play that entire year because of the Achilles, right? They fire him. Then they bring in Nash. Then they go get the big three. Then they get fleeced in the big three by trading all of those guys up way too early. Now they have this team that's stuck in the middle, right? Stuck in the middle with a Mikal Bridges who can fetch you a ton of draft capital. And I don't understand why Sean Marks still has a job. He's fired two coaches. He's going to have Kevin Ollie. And at the end of the year, you're going to go give him another shot with another coach? I don't know what Joe Tsai is thinking. Maybe he's too busy watching the Liberty because at least they win a little bit. And even they were terrible until they got Stewie and John Quellen Sloot before last season. I will say this. I don't care who's the coach. They need to get a new GM. They need to blow it up. And they need to look at Mikal Bridges and say, if he is not a corner piece, a 1A, go trade him and go get your three or four number one picks and start it completely over. It's a joke that this went down. I'm not saying John Quellen is any good. It's a joke this went down. And this guy still has a job today.
JY, not a fan of Sean Marks. I love in the soliloquy the shout out to the New York Liberty and what they have done well in offseason acquisitions to be in the WNBA finals as well. All in a breakdown for the Brooklyn Nets and the dismissal of Jacques Vaughn, who of course was named the interim head coach early last year, Donnie, in November after the firing of Steve Nash. And yesterday kind of encapsulates what a disaster the Nets organization have been over the past 2 to 3 seasons. A couple of summers ago, only optimism in Brooklyn as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving decide to team up for this Nets franchise. Then they add in James Harden just a few months later. It seemed as though Brooklyn was going to be the focal point of the NBA. If you remember correctly, Donnie, entering last season, 2022-23 in the NBA, it wasn't the Celtics or the Bucks or the Heat or the 76ers booked as the preseason favorites to win the Eastern Conference. It was the Brooklyn Nets. That is how disastrous the last few seasons have been for the Nets. It led to the firing of Steve Nash, and now over a year later, the firing of Jacques Vaughn.
Like, and by the way, do we even need the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA? Let's just go there. They were the New Jersey Nets gracious. Rivaling the Sacramento Kings as the worst franchise we've ever seen in the NBA. They go to Brooklyn. And by the way, horrible uniforms. Now, outside of Biggie Smalls that they tie themselves to with the Bed-Stuy uniforms, love them. Terrible color combination at this point. Why are we going to get excited? It's a New York Knicks town as it is. Their name is called the Nets. Wow. Maybe the worst nickname in the history of professional sports. Why not just the Brooklyn backboards at this point here? They are a nothing franchise. Oh. We're getting excited about them firing a head coach that, all right, who cares? Who's the next guy? We'll be fired as well. It would be better off for the NBA. Maybe this should be the new team that plays over in like overseas in the UK as the permanent team. Maybe they'll appreciate the Brooklyn Nets because we certainly don't in the Northeast here. And again, why are they even a franchise at this point? Horrendous franchise. Disband them. Send them overseas.
Really good roast right there. Brooklyn Nets, more like Brooklyn backboards or Brooklyn bricks for all that you have done this year. 21-33. The Nets, 12 games below 500. So who is the interim head coach? Kevin Ollie. Yeah, that Kevin Ollie, who won a national championship with UConn back in 2014. He spent 6 years as the head coach in stores. His last two seasons with Connecticut were losing records. But he was hired by the Nets in June as an assistant coach. He is now named the interim head coach for Brooklyn. He will take over the reins on Thursday when the Nets open up the home stretch against the Toronto Raptors. So now let's look at where the Nets stand overall. 37.5 was the preseason win total. It's not like they're terribly off that pace. 34 and a hook. They're not going to make the playoffs as they did a season ago. They're certainly not going to win the Eastern Conference Championship as well. There have been questions, Donnie, about what the Nets are going to do in the future. Are they going to build around Mikal Bridges? I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, let's build around Mikal Bridges. That should work out really well for those Nets here, Ben. Yeah. Woohoo! Nets! Go Nets!
I heard somebody say yesterday Mikal Bridges could garner multiple first-round picks. That kind of blew my mind, but I guess that is the state of the NBA. First-round picks in 2036 and 2039 to be found later on. That's where things are for Brooklyn. A quick stop down in Mexico for the PGA Tour. We break it down up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A stop down in Mexico for the PGA Tour this week. Out on tour, it's the Mexico Open, but we also look back on a huge event at Riviera the Genesis Invitational this past weekend. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here, and now joining us is Keith Stewart. Keith, thanks for taking the time, as always, to be with us here on this Tuesday on the Early Line.
Guys, it's great to be back on the East Coast after 3 weeks out West. 9 a.m. is a much better, much more civilized time to have this conversation.
Keith, we appreciate your time. I hope you had wonderful travels back from the California swing out on the PGA Tour that ended outside of Los Angeles at Riviera. It was a big week in the world of golf because Tiger Woods made his return to competitive action on the PGA Tour for the first time since the 2023 Masters. He completed one round and then withdrew on Friday due to what he was calling an illness, later said it was influenza, the flu that sidelined him and forced the WD. Keith, you were there at Riviera. What was the scene like on Friday afternoon as Tiger Woods had to withdraw?
It was interesting. At that moment, I was walking with Jordan Spieth, who was also very much under the weather. And, you know, we can get into his story in a second. But all of a sudden on the golf course, this mass exodus was coming from the front nine and going towards the gates as if all of a sudden, you know, they were asking people to leave. It was the craziest scene, guys. And the next thing you know, you look at your phone and you find out, and then the officials are talking about it, that Tiger had withdrawn, and we didn't know at first what it was. And so I looked at Jordan. I said, he goes, what's going on? And I said, Jordan, I said, Tiger's withdrawn. And he goes, well, if he's as sick as I am, then I could see why, which is interesting because it seemed like there was a little bit of something going around out there. I know Cantley, who didn't close the deal on Sunday, he had 100-degree fever in the final round. Kind of one of those stories in the background that when you're on site from a betting perspective, it's kind of good to know who's helped, who's not, guys.
Yeah, how about that? Sickness is going around here. Must be that time of year. Even affects the best players on the PGA Tour as well. But yeah. I do want to keep it here with Tiger Woods for a moment here, Keith, because before the sickness, you know, forced him out, we saw him open up with a couple birdies right around his round, maybe getting some of that good vibes and mojo back. Then we started hearing about maybe some back spasms coming into the equation. What's the health for Tiger Woods? Is it just a one-week thing and we'll see him a little bit later, or is this something that we maybe should pay attention to a little bit more?
I'm not going to pay too much attention to the back spasms thing. I mean, Tiger's got a lot of health issues. You know, that's been well documented. But at the end of the day, we got 24 holes from him, and he just really wasn't feeling well. We had 5 birdies, 6 bogeys, and 7 pars in the first round. It's a roller coaster because he's only playing once every couple of months at this point. I think just getting 24 holes from him and the fact that he didn't really get to finish the work that he wanted to start there at his host event is a good sign for all of us. If he played really well and had 4 good rounds, I don't think we see him till Magnolia Lane. The fact that he had unfinished business is really good, guys, as far as a sign that maybe we see him at the Players Championship or even Bay Hill.
That was going to be my question, Keith. Tiger Woods is never a good sign when you see him leaving in a golf cart during an official PGA Tour event. And it was a concern about the injury history for Tiger Woods, knowing all that he has to go for him to even be able to play in a PGA Tour event. So you expect to see him before Augusta. When do you think we see him next on the PGA Tour?
I think if the tour had their way, they would certainly want him at their flagship event, which is the Players Championship. And with a limited week and, you know, not a lot of body fatigue here at Riviera, I think that's a very good chance that he shows up before Augusta. It's a flat walk. It's one of the shorter golf courses on the PGA Tour. Certainly he's had great history. Well, he's had great history almost everywhere in Florida, but certainly he's had great history at the Players. I think that if, as they're trying to put this thing back together with the tumultuous year that the PGA Tour has had so far, I think it makes a lot of sense that we see him in Ponte Vedra Beach in about 4 weeks.
Keith, before we move on to the tournament this week in Mexico, I do want to ask you one question about this because it's something that we watch, and quite frankly, I still can't believe it's around. And I know for golf traditionalists, it does make some sense, keeping your own scorecard. But Jordan Spieth, as you brought up, under the weather, also signed an incorrect scorecard here and was forced to be disqualified from the tournament. Is it time for a change, Keith? And do you talk to the golfers about this, or this is just the rules and the traditions that we have?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of people in this day and age with our cancel culture that just say, hey, let's just let that rule slide because there is such thing as a shot link, or there's 10,000 people watching each group. I mean, at the end of the day, if we're going to let that go, I'm a PGA professional, so I'm maybe not the best person to ask, but I wouldn't say I'm a true traditionalist, but are we just going to allow the guys to maybe by mistake have 15 clubs in their bag, or, you know, we won't play the one ball rule? I mean, where does this go? It's a very slippery slope. Each player is responsible for their equipment, their score, and their golf ball. And at the end of the day, I think we can hold them accountable for that. It's one of the few things in golf that makes it such a unique sport. How many sports are there where you don't have a teammate with which to rely on? And the golf course, for me, Donnie, I got to stick with, you have to be able to be responsible for your own score and sign your scorecard at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is that technology that would keep us from not going down that slippery slope of 15 clubs and such. But I do hear the point of the traditional nature on the PGA Tour. Hideki Matsuyama, a historic final round at Riviera. The lowest ever final score round shot, 62 for Matsuyama for a champion at Riviera to win the Genesis Invitational. Now, next up on the PGA Tour, Keith, is down in Mexico. It's the Mexico Open. Not as strong of a field as we saw last week in L.A., but Tony Finau is the favorite right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 750. What can we expect this week at the Mexico Open?
Well, we have a very interesting golf course, Vidanta Vallarta, which was designed by Greg Norman. We've used it now twice for this Mexican Open once it became an official PGA Tour event. Very long golf course, pretty wide open off of the tee. It certainly favors length. There's no doubt about it. We've had two editions there, one won by Jon Rahm, the second one by Tony Finau. In those two editions, we've had five players who have hit the top 10 twice. Now, those guys, I already mentioned Finau and Rahm, they were both in the top 10 for both editions, but we've had Brandon Wu, Patrick Rogers, and Cam Champ. Well, let me tell you something. Cam Champ, one of the longest players on tour, he only has four top 10s in the last 2 years, and two of them are at this site. So you have to be super long. You also have to be really strong on approach with your long irons, anything over 200 yards. And one of the tricks down here is that they have Seaside Pass Palom. Now, I know, Ben, you were just down there in Puerto Vallarta. The grass down there, It's sticky, it's coastal, it's very hot and humid all the time. They use this in all the resorts, like when the guys play Corrales at Punta Cana. So there's a lot of comps, Puerto Rico, Punta Cana. Certainly when we went down to Tiger's Place in Mexico last fall, the Worldwide Technology Championship, those are the comp courses I'm looking at. I need long players, and I need guys that can play on this Seaside Pass Palom.
Keith, only about 40 seconds left. This is the early line. What are your early leans for the Mexico Open?
Well, you know what? Hideki was another bomb. He started the week over 80-1. So I don't like Tony Finau. He can't putt. I don't like Nikolai Højgaard, Emiliano Grillo, Keith Mitchell, those guys at the top. They have their ways with which they could certainly take advantage of this golf course, but there's some names in the middle, like Maverick McNealy, maybe a Sam Stevens. I also like Michael Kim. That's where my eyes are right now.
60-1 on both Michael Kim and Maverick McNealy for the 2024 Mexico Open. Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time. As always, we appreciate you being here on this Tuesday on the Early Line.
Thanks, guys. Have fun watching the Mexico Open.
Thank you very much. NBA All-Star break. We looked at the postseason push around the association. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line. It is day number two, officially, of the All-Star break. We had All-Star weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There was some sort of activity or festivities around the association. No games yesterday. No games today in the NBA. No games tomorrow. Back in action on Thursday. And Donnie, I've kind of belabored this point at this moment, but it does bear repeating. It's not the halfway point. of an 82-game regular season. Teams haven't played 41, 42, 43 games, more so 53, 54, 55, 56. Every team around the NBA, at least 53 games played so far. That means there's less than 30 for all 30 NBA clubs. When we return, it is the playoff push. And we will look at what is up for grabs in the postseason, starting with the Eastern Conference.
And, you know, it's an exciting time, too, because it is the unofficial start, really, of the second half, right, or should I say the playoff run. It just feels like, again, everybody takes it seriously from day number one, but the betting public and the general public starts to climb on board post-Super Bowl. You watch the All-Star game, and away you go. But I do think it's one of those where when everybody gets back, you party it up in Vegas, or maybe you went somewhere else at that point, right? But when you get back in town, yeah, I think everybody in the organization knows this is the sprint towards the playoffs. You're going to get the best basketball of the NBA season now right up through the playoffs. So it's an exciting time here. It's just a shame that we have to wait till Thursday to watch it actually start to play out once again.
Yeah, certainly so. So let's look at the playoff picture right now outside of the top four in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics are going to be the number one overall seed, more than likely a six-game advantage with 27 games left to play. So the Celtics, Cavs, Bucks, and Knicks, that's the top four. Now we look outside of that. In the five spot, despite losing 9 of their last 12 entering the All-Star break, mostly without Joel Embiid for 10 of those 12 games, the Philadelphia 76ers, still 10 games above 500 in the 5 spot, 32-22. The Pacers, 2 games back of that at 31-25. Half-game cushion for Indiana over Miami and Orlando to stay out of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. Of course, 7 through 10 would be in the play-in tournament. After the Magic, you quickly get to teams that are below 500. The Bulls, 3 games below 500, 26-29. The Hawks, 7 games below 500 at 24-31. Something that stands out to me, Donnie, in terms of those prices. The Sixers favored, the Pacers favored to see the playoffs. These are not play-in tournament. This is playoff prices being one of the final eight. The Magic at minus 800, a slightly better number to see the Eastern Conference postseason even than Philadelphia.
You're right about it. And by the way, you're looking at the standings overall and you say to yourself, all right, Philadelphia 76ers at 5, they're not going to stay at 5 here, Ben. I think it's pretty clear. If Joel Embiid is not going to return back to, let's just say, the playoffs, they'll be lucky to stay at a 500 pace, which usually, as a fifth seed, is going to get you passed by somebody in the 6th, 7th, or 8th seeds. But as you start to slide it down a little bit, of course, we're going to talk about the Miami Heat and the pedigree that they have, and they'll get it together, and the coaching staff and the Heat culture. But behind them, is there any faith? Like, I understand what the Orlando Magic have done this year has been quite good. 30-25 overall, have a very good home court advantage at 18-8. But do we trust them once they get to the playoffs? Or quite frankly, now that we talk about that second season where everybody's locked in, do we trust the Magic on a night-to-night basis? And also, you slide it down. The Bulls, basically done at this point. You take a look at the Atlanta Hawks, basically done. Now, we'll get to the Western Conference eventually, but in the Eastern Conference, there's still not a lot of pressure. Like, if the Sixers lose Joel Embiid and let you say, you know, lose 2 out of every 3 games, you go, ah, you know what? They're still going to be in the playoffs. Why? Because not many teams are going to be chasing them down. And there's a lot of really bad basketball teams in the Eastern Conference. So if you are struggling down the stretch here and you're not in the top four in the East, you're probably still going to get a nice waiver here right into the playoffs. And the teams that can catch fire and or get healthy at the right time, that's going to make the difference.
Magic, the best cover team in the NBA, 36-19 against the spread. Only 2 teams in the association covering in more than 60% of their games before the All-Star break, Orlando and Oklahoma City. When you look at the remaining strength of schedule in the Eastern Conference, Philly has the 3rd most difficult schedule here down the home stretch. It's why you also see in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament odds, Philadelphia favored to be one of those 4 teams, again, 7 through 10, minus 195. But let's just play it out. The Bulls at the 9 spot right now, minus 750 to be a play-in tournament team. The Hawks, minus 390, 7-8. The Heat and the Magic, both plus money prices to be play-in tournament teams. So the odds makers at this moment, Donnie, actually expect the teams that sit 5 and 6, Philadelphia and Indiana to fall into the play-in tournament, while the two teams from the Sunshine State, the Heat and the Magic, make their way out to take those final two automatic spots, if you will, into the Eastern Conference playoffs and avoid the play-in tournament.
It makes some sense. It really does, because you're taking a look. What's the Sixers' MO and game plan? Do they want to make the playoffs? Absolutely. Yeah. Do they want to be a top seed? Absolutely, you do. Nobody's going to say, okay, you know what? It's better to be in the play-in rounds. But you have to be optimistic here. Heading down the stretch, like if Tyrese Maxey is going to have to play the final 25 games all by himself, he might get worn down as well. There will be injuries that come into the fold. But the one interesting thing is you see some of those price points. You'd be like, wait a second. Why would the Bulls be so high at this point at 26 and 29 to make the playoffs here? Because the simple question is, look behind them. Ben, look outside the playoffs here. Are the teams that you say, okay, who's going to climb up and take one of these teams currently out of the play-in series or out of the playoffs altogether? Is it the Nets who just fired their head coach and basically saying, like, well, you know what? We'll restart our franchise next year. The Raptors, 19 and 36, already playing for ping pong balls. The Hornets, Wizards, or Pistons at this point? That's the question that you have, because usually it's like, okay, we got a lot of quality teams fighting for playoff spots. No, we don't in the East. So you see some crazy numbers on really bad basketball teams because you realize, like, oh, wait, this team actually still might be trying even though they're bad, as opposed to the bad teams that won't be trying at all over the final 30 or so games.
We said the Orlando Magic, the best cover team in the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks are the worst at 17 and 38. ATS, 24 and 31 straight up. We thought DeJounte Murray might be on the move ahead of the trade deadline. He remains in the ATL with Trae Young. There's a big difference, Donnie, between a 24 and 31 Atlanta team and even the Nets right now. Not only a 2.5 game difference in the win-loss record, but just the vibes. The Nets fired their head coach in Jacques Vaughn just yesterday afternoon. It's a really big distinction, by the way, between the East and the West. And we'll look at the Western Conference playoff picture a lot more jumbled than in the East. The Golden State Warriors right now, 10th spot in the Western Conference, a game above 500. Then outside of Golden State, you get to the teams that are below 500, 11 through 15. After the 8th spot in which the Orlando Magic have right now, 30 and 25, same as the Heat, you get to the Bulls who are 3 games below 500. It is why when you look at the remaining strength of schedule, the 4 easiest schedules left in the NBA, Miami 4th easiest, Boston 3rd easiest, Brooklyn 2nd easiest. The Orlando Magic have the easiest remaining schedule in all of the association. It's why Miami and Orlando are favored to get out of the play-in tournament where they would find themselves if the season ended at the All-Star break and just be one of those top 6 teams that reach the Eastern Conference playoffs from the very start. So now we move it even a little bit more forward. Eastern Conference odds to win the championship in this conference this year. The Celtics are approaching even money rapidly, plus 115. About $2 of a distinction between Boston and Milwaukee, 3-1 number on the Bucks. The Knicks 6-1, the Cavs 8-1, then you double the number to get to Philadelphia at 16-1, and Miami at 17-1. Then the Pacers and the Magic, who we expect to be in the playoffs, 30-1 on Indiana, 90-1 on Orlando. We are approaching a component of this season already, Donnie, still with 25, 27 games left in the NBA, where the Celtics very likely at the end of the regular season are going to be an odds-on favorite to win the Eastern Conference title, given where everybody else is in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, paying juice, which would be incredible here at this point. And sometimes you'd say to yourself, well, I do think the Celtics are going to win the Eastern Conference, but who's going to lay a plus 115 and not get paid out on that for months down the road here? You're more likely just to put that money to work on a night-to-night basis. Same thing even with the Milwaukee Bucks at a 3-1 price. If you figure they're going to get that together, 3-1 price isn't good enough on a future to hold it for months and months on end at this point. So unless you're betting the New York Knicks at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now at a 6-1 price or longer, like the Cavaliers or the Philadelphia 76ers, it doesn't make much sense, even if it is a winning proposition. Yes, I understand that that makes sense, but still at the same time, come on now. You got better ways to spend your money at this point here. The Boston Celtics, to me, if you said, Donnie, who's going to win the East? It's going to be the Celtics. Why not bet them at plus 115? Stop the madness. It's not a good enough price. And also, Ben, nothing is guaranteed in this business, which means health down the stretch either. Plus 115, never going to see my money, even if I do think the Celtics win the conference.
despite being 43-12, the best team in the NBA, the only team to reach the 40-win benchmark by the All-Star break, and they have three on top of that with a 43-12 mark. The regular season is so wildly different than the postseason in the NBA. Anything can happen in a best-of-seven series. It's why you see an 8 seed like the Heat reach the NBA Finals a season ago. Is there value on Miami? 17-1, a team now favored to be one of the top six and avoid the play-in tournament with one of the easiest schedules after the All-Star break? Maybe. Donnie, we had this conversation to start off the show in our opening hour. I think the Celtics are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I still think the Bucks are that second team out East. Can anybody else really make a push? That will be what we discuss here down the home stretch. And we'll get your thoughts on the Western Conference as we look at the playoff picture over there. And then some true NBA Finals predictions and some overall outlooks on the other side of the break here on the Early Line. After the All-Star break, it's the playoff push in the association.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We are in the middle of the NBA All-Star break, which gives us the opportunity to look at the playoff push following the break and find you the value with some playoff picks here now around the Western Conference. We set the stage for the East. Now we head out West. We talked about the difference in the standings, Donnie, from the Eastern Conference to the Western Conference, not only at the top where Boston has a 6-game cushion over Cleveland, who has that second best record in the East. At the top of the Western Conference, very jumbled in those first four spots. Minnesota, best record in the West, 39-16. Game and a half in front of OKC, who has a game lead over the LA Clippers. And when you look beyond that, only a half game lead, excuse me, over the Clips, who have a game in front of the Denver Nuggets. Top four teams in the Western Conference, all separated by only 4 games. Then you get a 3-game drop off to both Phoenix and New Orleans. The Pels, 33-22. The Suns, 33-22. Currently the Suns in the 5 spot. The Pelicans in the 6 spot. But every team in the play-in picture at this moment in the Western Conference, 7-10, Mavericks, Kings, Lakers, Warriors, at least a game above 500. We have two of the teams in the play-in tournament picture in the Eastern Conference, the Bulls and the Hawks, that are 3 games below 500 or worse. Better teams in the Western Conference makes for a more fun and exciting playoff race here down the home stretch.
No, it certainly does, because if you take a look here, again, top 10 teams in the Western Conference right now, which includes the play-in. I think we're locked in there, Ben. If you saw that graphic pop up, when you get to the Utah Jazz at an 18-1 price to make it in, that's a true long shot here, and I don't think they're going to make it in. So similar to what we talked about in the Eastern Conference, the bottom feeders, right? Don't really have a chance to push. The Spurs, they're done. The Trailblazers are done. The Grizzlies, of course. The Houston Rockets, still playing decent basketball as a younger team, but I don't think they're going to make that push for the run in. And again, the one team that could would be the Jazz, but when you take a look at the standings now, they're already 2.5 games back of the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. Now, as much as I don't like the Golden State Warriors, they should be able to play 500 basketball the rest of the way in. That's probably going to be good enough. And as you talked about, the Western Conference is absolutely stacked. The fun part of this conference is going to be, obviously, once you get to the playoffs, but really, what's that seeding going to be before the playoffs? Because the Warriors, Lakers, Kings, and Mavericks, they all don't want to be in the play-in round here. Yeah. They want to be in playoffs and be able to sit back and say, okay, who is our opponent actually going to be at this point? And they interviewed LeBron James at the break, and LeBron James didn't say, like, hey, you know what? If we have to be in the play-in, so be it. He basically said, we don't want to be in the play-in round. We want to get that 6th overall seed. So the sprint to the finish in the West is going to be awesome. Even though I think we know who's in the playoffs jockeying for position, that should be a lot of fun to watch it play out.
And that is the story in the Western Conference, in my opinion, in terms of that playoff race. Jockeying for position, not which teams might occupy those playoff or play-in tournament spots. Look at the odds once again. The Suns minus 700 to be a Western Conference playoff team. The Pels minus 550. The Mavs minus 355. The Kings minus 250 before you get into plus money for both LA and Golden State. And then we move that over to the play-in tournament odds. The Dubs minus 650. The Lakers minus 650 to be in the play-in tournament. The Kings minus 220. And the Mavs minus 175. Those are the four teams currently in those play-in tournament spots. The teams that are also closest to be a play-in tournament team, the Suns minus 110. The Pels, even money plus 100. The teams that would be outside looking in right now, the Rockets and the Jazz, Golden State, 2.5 game lead over Utah, 3.5 in front of Houston. Big plus money long shot numbers, plus 750 for the Rockets, 9-1 for the Jazz. What does that tell you? If it's not the four teams that currently occupy 7 through 10, Mavs, Kings, Lakers, Dubs, it's going to be the two teams in front falling back into the play-in tournament, Phoenix and New Orleans, instead of the teams behind, the Rockets and the Jazz, making a move up, at least what the odds makers expect here in the final 30 games or less than 30 games of this NBA regular season.
No, and they're 100% right as well. They're dead on, yeah, on this one, because you are looking at teams falling back to the pack, because the one thing that you do know is, even though if we say the top 10 is already solidified here, you can't be the Lakers or the Warriors and be like, hey, you know what? Not playing that great of basketball. Let me rest LeBron James down the stretch. Oh, no. Here come the Utah Jazz to take one of those spots here. So you still have to play good basketball heading forward. But yeah, then the question becomes, how important is health versus that rest and heading into the playoffs? Because if you would tell me right now, hey, Donnie, look, I can't guarantee that the Phoenix Suns stay in the top six here, but you know what? They're going to do the right thing here. And the big three, game number one in the playoffs, regardless in the play-in round or the regular deal, yep, here, is that they will have that big three healthy on the court. I'd rather have that and say, you know what? Give me the Suns here in that eighth seed here, but at least I know that they're healthy down the stretch. Not playing Kevin Durant on a night-to-night basis and saying, wow, he hobbled into the playoffs, but thank goodness, Ben, we got that sixth seed and we avoided the play-in round. That's what the interesting thing is going to be. Or the Pelicans play, and also the Denver, right, Nuggets coming back with injuries like Jamal Murray, and how excited they will be down the stretch if they need to make that push to try to get up to that number one seed. There's a lot of things that have to get worked out, but the one thing I can see is, mm-hmm, I'm not going to lose sleep if teams like the Nuggets or the Suns slip back into that play-in round, but for good reason. Not for saying like, well, we lost Beal and we lost Booker, that's why we didn't play good basketball. But if you're conscious down the stretch, right, getting your rest in when you need it and not worrying about overall seeding, that might be an extra boost to some of these teams, Ben.
Again, 10 teams in the Western Conference above 500 at this moment, only 8 in the Eastern Conference. And the two teams in 11 and 12, Utah and Houston in the Western Conference, both have a better record than the team that sits in 10th in the Eastern Conference. That would be the Atlanta Hawks. I bring that up because when you look at the most difficult remaining schedules in the NBA, out of the top 10 hardest, 7 of the 10 from the Western Conference, the most difficult left, the Phoenix Suns. So now let's find a couple of playoff picks as we talk this out here in real time. Does it make sense then to say the Suns are going to be a play-in tournament team? Minus 110 right now for Phoenix. By the way, both Phoenix and New Orleans, 33 and 22, both a game cushion over the Dallas Mavericks, who enter the All-Star break, the hottest team out west, winners of 6 in a row. They have a game and a half cushion over the Sacramento Kings. Is there value on Phoenix falling in to the play-in tournament? Is there value potentially, Donnie, on the Lakers or the Warriors to be a playoff team? Plus money prices for both Los Angeles and Golden State, plus 104, plus 110. If you had a playoff best bet, mm-hmm, in terms of these make postseason prices, what do you think gets your attention the most?
You're probably looking, and again, playing paint by numbers, right? Where the Phoenix Suns, as we just laid out that game plan, what's more important for them? You know, falls in that same category here. It's actually the Los Angeles Lakers. I understand that LeBron James is sitting back here, Ben, and saying to himself, look, we really don't win the, nobody wants to be in the play-in round. You want more of that satisfaction of being a top six team. You're going to wait on your opponent. You get a full series to work it out. You don't have to worry about any variance of, oh my goodness, we didn't play good in two games. Now we're sitting at home for the playoffs. If you do that while you're already in the effective playoffs here, you lose your first two games. Hey, look, we still got two more games to play it out. But how important it is getting up there saying, you know what, if I can give LeBron James and or Anthony Davis an extra three games rest down the stretch, and it means maybe we're burning our chance of the sixth seed, because keep in mind, Ben, if the season ends today and the Lakers play well, there's still no guarantee they move up into the sixth seed. You might be looking at a scenario where the Lakers are one of the hottest teams in basketball over the final 2.5 weeks, and it didn't even help them get a sixth seed, but yet they played all that manpower heading into the playoffs and then that high leverage situation of the play-in rounds here. So for me, to myself, I look at the Phoenix Suns and say to myself, there's a really good chance they could slip out of the top six because they're worried more about a championship than actually winning some regular season games down the stretch to improve their draft position. And the same thing with the Los Angeles Lakers. I would keep them out of the top six knowing that it's not the end-all, be-all, and it's not their right, even if they play good basketball, that they're going to jump three teams and be a top six team here, Ben.
The Dubs and the Lakers heavily favored at minus 650 to be in the play-in tournament in the Western Conference postseason picture. Again, Phoenix, the most difficult schedule remaining in all of the NBA. The Lakers, the 10th hardest schedule left in the association. If I was looking for a little bit of plus money, I think I would look at Golden State at plus 110 to be a playoff team. Not only with the potential out of a play-in tournament spot, but also maybe just in the top six at the end of the regular season. And let me explain why. Golden State right now, when you look at the easiest schedules left in the Western Conference, second easiest, only Memphis has an easier schedule left out of teams hailing from the West. Golden State is also only one of two teams in the NBA right now, Donnie, that has played 53 games. Everybody else, 54 or more. Golden State out West, Cleveland in the Eastern Conference, just 53 games, meaning they have more potential games on the other side to make up some ground. 29 of them, in fact. Golden State enters the All-Star break, winning six of their final seven games, turning things around, a game above 500. They understand what they have to do here in this home stretch and the pressure that is on in maybe the final year of this dynastic run up in San Francisco. I think there is a potential for Golden State to be one of the top two teams in the play-in tournament, making up some ground, seven or eight, or maybe even making a miraculous run here down the home stretch to be one of the top six, not have to deal with the play-in tournament, cashing that plus 110 price at the end of the regular season. 4.5 games, though, the difference between Golden State and New Orleans and Phoenix. That's a lot of ground to make up, even with 29 left to go. But I think that would get my attention from a playoff pick that maybe I like here following the All-Star break.
And maybe they found something with Klay Thompson here, Ben, coming off the bench here, performing very well late, first time doing that in a long time. But also, if you're just looking at teams going into the All-Star break with the good vibes, they were 8-2 in their last 10, best conference over the last 10 games in the, excuse me, best record in the Western Conference over those past 10 games here. It's a veteran team that got a break at the All-Star break. You saw Draymond Green on the telecast, you know, chopping it up, having some fun back with the team.
We'll see how
that plays out second half. I'm actually hoping, Ben, that you lose that wager because that means that we don't have a team total going to be over of the Golden State Warriors. So I got to be true to the game here on what I opened up the season with. But it's one of those teams that a veteran-laden team that knows how to win, it's the Golden State Warriors. So you put them in a situation where it's like, hey, we got to win two of our final three. Yeah, there's a really good chance you're going to be able to do that. Why? Because they've done it before.
Completely understand where you stand from the start of this season as well.
Yep.
One more market I do want to look at. We talked about it yesterday. To be the number one seed in the Western Conference playoffs. Minnesota right now, best record, 39-16. They are the favorites at plus 135. The second best price, though, is not the team with the second best record in Oklahoma City. It's the LA Clippers at 2-1. Nobody has been better than the Clippers since the end of November. 8-10 at the end of that month. We all questioned would the James Harden blockbuster deal amount to anything in Los Angeles. From that point in their 35 games, 28-7 from the end of November until the All-Star break. But the Clippers, one of the 10 hardest schedules left. Everybody else, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Denver, three of the easiest 11 remaining in the association. So when we look at a plus 135 price for Minnesota, 2-1 for the Clips, I actually think the Timberwolves are going to be able to hold off teams to be that number one seed when all is said and done at the end of the regular season.
I think it makes sense. I do. And also, you're still trying to learn how to win as the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a big deal for you right now. Like, I know the Lakers won the in-season tournament, right? Like, okay, we got that one out of the way. Was it a big win for the Lakers? No, because their aspirations are much, much bigger on winning championships. But sometimes when you're a team like the Timberwolves, not expected to be in the spot, there's a lot of pride in that locker room that goes, you know what? You know what would feel great here? That we actually do wrap up the number one seed and prove everybody wrong, because we are waiting for these two teams at the top, the Timberwolves and the Thunder, to sort of fall back. But also, the same thing I look at for the Phoenix Suns here. How important it is for the Clippers to be that number one overall seed if it means Kawhi has to play an extra couple games, Paul George, same exact thing, Ben.
We're back on the early line with some NFL talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This second hour, live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, and this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen in a matter of moments. All of our insight and info right there in the palm of your hand. Today, a big day around the National Football League. It starts the two-week window where you can place the franchise or transition tag on a member of your organization. For the Minnesota Vikings, no potential candidates, and not Kirk Cousins either. In his contract, it is not void until March 13th, specifically designed so that he cannot be placed under the franchise tag. Is his time in the Twin Cities coming to a close? Will Kirk Cousins play elsewhere next year around the NFL? That was the question for you out there in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid TV on Twitter, where will Kirk Cousins play next season? The Minnesota Vikings? Somewhere else? And very hotly contested at SportsGrid TV on Twitter. 47% saying he'll stay with the Vikes. 53% saying somewhere else. Where does Donnie Wrightside land?
Yeah, I think he's back with the Minnesota Vikings. And reason being, I should say, is Josh Dobbs, Jaren Hall, Nick Mullins. Yeah, good luck with that. And you do have a higher draft pick, I believe, just outside the top 10. But is that enough to get your franchise guy at this point? Or do you want to put a guy who's probably going to be heeled back under center, throwing 35 touchdown passes and 7 or 8 interceptions on the season and try to win a division championship? Yeah, usually general managers and coaches go that route. Yeah, he's back with the Minnesota Vikings. I can't see them letting him go.
Just outside the top 10 was on the nose. 11th overall is where the Vikings will draft in the opening round of the 2024 NFL draft. And we'll look at those NFL draft odds and the team most likely to select J.J. McCarthy. What it might all mean for this offseason and Captain Kirk when hour 3 starts in 55 seconds.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional grade products and next day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.